Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, listen, you know, when I thought of doing this confidence series, I thought of three or four people that I know have just exude confidence and have done amazing things, from Arianna Huffington and just some amazing friends. And I feel blessed they all said yes to doing this interview. But I have to tell you, I'm more excited to chat with you about this than anyone on the planet. I mean, the truth is, dude, there's nobody more qualified on this globe to help somebody with confidence. And I know that's kind of a big word, right? We could say, does it start with courage? Does it start with your state? But, you know, in my life, I look back when I just had to fight hard to find the confidence, or maybe it was the courage to muster up to just take those steps, go against the grain, do what other people, you know, weren't willing to do. Confidence just had such an impact on my life that I felt compelled to just share with people, because I've never met anybody that lacked confidence that also could get the passion they want, the love they want, the money they want. And I really appreciate you taking your time out of a busy day and talk to me about this.
Well, it's my pleasure. Listen, I agree. There are different words. You know, we all associate to different words, but I think confidence comes, courage is certainly strengthened by confidence. You know, if you're not confident, it's hard to be courageous, right?
Right.
And I look at it as, I look at it as there are bridges on these words, so we can use whatever we want, but I think confidence is critical. It's that invisible force, and it sounds phony or playful to call it, you know, invisible force, but you think about it, the things that affect us most powerfully are invisible. Radiation, right? That's pretty powerful. Gravity, love, hate, confidence. You know, human emotion is that invisible force that shapes us, and some of them pull us forward, push us forward. Some of them pull us back. And confidence is that liberator, because what confidence does is it allows you to get past your fear. The only thing that stops us really in life, it's not ability, because you can get the ability. It's that lack of confidence. And that really can be summarized really more that fear is dominating you more than a sense of certainty is. I look at it in my own life, and I think of it as the term absolute certainty. There's levels of confidence, right? And when you look at the magic that allows an athlete to perform at the highest level of anybody in their field for decades, you know, a Michael Jordan, you know, a Tiger Woods, I know he's having challenges now, but, you know, he certainly has done some things that most human beings never dream of. And Oprah Winfrey, coming from her background, that confidence that eventually grows into absolute certainty, you know, the difference is, with absolute certainty, there is zero question, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. As opposed to confidence, you can be confident and still truthfully have some questions or, you know, a lack of clarity. But when you have some combination of whatever you want to call these magical forces, what you really have is the ability to be liberated. You have the ability to get yourself to take action, which is where the whole game of life is won. And so my life has changed radically, because I wasn't born with that confidence. I built this guy, Tony Robbins, you know?
Right.
I literally figured ways, I studied ways to develop that certainty inside myself, because I knew without it, I wasn't doing anything. Without it, I couldn't get myself to follow through. Without it, I lived in fear. Without it, honestly, I was depressed. And I felt like, is there really a reason to go on living at the most extreme times in my life early on? So I think you're right. It's an elixir, but at the same time, it's truthfully a muscle that anyone can develop. And when they develop it, it makes a significant difference in their life. And I want to give one other caveat, though, that I'd mentioned. After I've talked about absolute certainty and its power, I mean, that's what gets you to follow through. That's what gets you to start that business. Yep. That's what will get you to do it when everybody else says it's impossible. It's what you see in a guy like, you know, my buddy, you know, Richard Branson. I mean, he glows with confidence in environments where everybody says there's just no way he can possibly succeed. And he does it with enjoyment and passion and aliveness. But on the other side, overconfidence can actually kill you as well. So I don't really believe, I want to make clear from the very beginning of this conversation, that confidence is everything. I think it's one of the most important initial steps. But you also need confidence, because, you know, a lot of people never attempt things. They never go for things because their confidence is based on history. Okay, I'm confident. You know, anybody can be confident in tying your shoes, right? You know, it's like people say to me, you know, how do you get up and do, you know, 6 days and nights, not an ounce of notes, and you're there for, you know, 18 hours, 14 hours in a day, and you got people totally engaged. You know, how do you do that? How do you have that confidence? I said, well, because I've done it a few million times, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you do something enough, you're going to be confident. You're going to have that confidence. But some people never get the confidence on the one side because they think I have to have history. My confidence comes like yours because I know I can figure it out. I don't have to have done it to be confident. If you have to have done it to be confident, your confidence is going to be limited for your whole life. On the opposite side, if you're overconfident, I dealt with a guy, you know, I do a lot of work with financial traders, some of the best in the world. And there was a guy about, I don't know, 7 years ago, 6 years ago that, you know, most people know today, I coach Paul Tudor Jones. And he's, you know, he hasn't lost money in 28 years. I mean, nobody on earth can say that. That confidence, though, is based on unbelievable discipline and competence and working at things. And he had a guy on his team that became the top player, and his ego grew. And he sent me up to go see him. He said, Tony, I need you to work with him. He said, because he said, I just know this guy is overconfident. He made $150 million that morning on a set of trades, to give you an idea. So when I sat down with him, I mean, this guy, his shit didn't stink. You know, sorry to be so crass, but that's really what it was. It's just like, he so believed in himself. And when I looked at the situation, I started asking question after question after question so I could get him to start to see what's really true, which was a huge part of it was luck. Sometimes people's confidence is based on history. Sometimes it's based on just being in the right place at the right time. And that type of confidence can actually bite you. And it eventually did. This guy ended up losing about $380 million over about a 7 month period of time when his luck changed. You know, he thought it was all him. So I think it's really important to say life is messy. There's places for confidence. There's places for absolute effing certainty. And there's places for you to question. And learning to put that balance in place so that you continue to grow as an individual and contribute and perform at the highest possible level is the balance of life.
Yeah. I mean, and that mix, Tony, you know, you just, it's amazing. I love talking to you. I don't have to ask many questions. This is what you do better than anyone in the world. But I look back at confidence, the same thing. I had a manufacturer mind. I was the smallest kid in school, got picked on because I couldn't read good. And I remember that affecting my confidence, but seeing the people that would shine, have their shoulders back, different expressions, different words. And I can remember in my own evolution, and I've seen this with so many of my students, is I can remember, like, if you have an 8-cylinder engine, right? When all 8 cylinders are running, it's just smooth. You barely hear the engine. But if you take one spark plug out, it's missing one. It kind of fires weird, right? I was a mechanic kid, so I knew that it was like, you know, it just ran off. And I can remember manufacturing confidence, and I didn't have a path, or no one showed me at this time in my life, but I would feel like an 8-cylinder engine when I felt that confidence, when I felt that absolute certainty. I could just do this no matter what anybody said. But I could lose it in a second and run like an 8-cylinder, but only 6 cylinders firing. And I feel blessed that I worked my way out of that. And I realized without the confidence, without the certainty, without putting myself in a certain state, there was no shot for me to have the life that I wanted.
Yeah.
But I see so many people struggle with that. And I think they default back with their story or what happened in their life, or I wasn't born with confidence. And, you know, I've been blessed to watch you, Tony, get somebody stand up and they look like they're, you know, and I've watched you take people ready to kill themselves, not saying they might do it, like they're doing it the next morning. And I've watched you just not only change their state, but I could see their confidence change. So without having someone in their face to be able to do that and pull it out of them, what are some of the things that you give people to kind of keep in their life? So, and I guess I asked a lot of questions at once, apologies on that, but there was too many. So I guess, I think the thing is people think they need to be born with confidence and that situations hurt it. Well, so I'll let you riff from there before I ask too many questions at once.
you give me a bunch of them. Let me hit a couple of them. Let's just talk about where does confidence come from? Because that's one of your questions inherently, right? Are you born with it? And I don't know anybody who's born with confidence, although there are individuals, you know, you can see them as a baby that seem to have less fear, right? So when you have less fear, you appear more confident. But at the same time, I've seen people, and I was one of them, and you were one of them, that had zero confidence. I was also the smallest kid, believe it or not. You know, I grew 10 inches my junior year in high school. So I was 5'1 my sophomore year, to give you an idea. And I would also get picked on. I remember in grade school getting picked on.
Here's the thing. We were both 5'1 in sophomore. I only got a couple more inches, though.
Trust me, you should be happy. You fit in cars. You can buy your own clothes. It's a different world. But the point is that same experience, like of being fearful, the first step for me was I had to fake it to survive. And there's an interesting thing about your body. When you fake, like you fake laugh and you laugh and laugh, and you fake laugh. You know, some people do this sometimes, just see what happens. And what happens is your nervous system hits a trigger where it actually ignites and you really begin to laugh. Yep. Same thing is true with confidence. We've all heard fake it till you make it. So I think my first approach was kind of fake it till you make it. But that isn't a very lasting approach. That's a good like band-aid for the moment. And it was like, you know, how do I get through this situation so this person doesn't end up, you know, taking me down in a fight? I gotta manufacture fake confidence. But most people can smell that. And it doesn't really, as I say, even if you can really make it happen in your body out of adrenaline, it doesn't last. So what I started doing is I started reading about, you know, these things like affirmations, I remember. And I would do these affirmations and I'd go, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. But, you know, I wasn't even slightly happy. And I began to realize that affirmations without discipline were the beginning of delusion. That I needed to affirm things, but I needed to do something that would increase that confidence, right? You know, I needed to like learn how to fight, learn how to protect myself, not just say I'm strong, I can handle these guys. I mean, that's a delusion. And so I began to do a combination of things. I did things for my psychology to develop more confidence because I realized that affirmation was enough. So I started calling it an incantation because I remember studying, you know, these magicians, you know, you read the mythology of these magicians and they would say these things over and over again with such intensity and they turn a frog into a prince into a frog. And I thought, you know what? I'm saying I'm happy, but I'm not feeling it. I'm not using my body. My face isn't saying it. So I would do this incantation in my car, literally my 1968 Volkswagen Bug. And I'm driving from East Los Angeles and a place called the San Gabriel Valley to San Fernando Valley. It's about an hour drive. And I'd be screaming, I now command my subconscious mind to direct me in helping this person to change their life today by giving me the strength, the emotion, the persuasion, the humor, the brevity, whatever it takes to show this person and get this person to change their life now. How do I know that so clearly? Because I did it for years. God. But I would get in this car and do that for an hour drive. And if you were driving by me on the freeway, you probably thought I was a serial killer screaming this shit at the top of my lungs. But whenever two people meet, if there's rapport, if there's respect, you've got to have rapport and respect. The person who's most certain will influence the other person. And I would sit down with this person and they were like, you know, I'm not going to do this. I said, no, you don't understand. You wouldn't have come here to meet me if you hadn't already believed that this was valuable and you want to go and you're going to go. And they would look at me like I was insane to be like, these aren't the droids you're looking for. You know, it just because my certainty was so strong and it came from wanting to serve them. It came from a place of love. But I didn't have confidence. I had such absolute certainty and connection that literally when I worked for Jim Rohn, every person I met for the first 2 months, I convinced to his programs. These are people who said they couldn't do it, it was impossible to do it. I became the top guy in his company and it was all building this certainty. I used to do the same thing around economics where, again, I wasn't just affirming it. I was doing this incantation at the top of my lungs for hours until I believed it, I owned it, I experienced it. But then I went also and worked on the skills. Whatever skill was necessary, I teamed it so I'd have confidence and competence. And I can't share that enough because I'll tell you one of the worst things you can do. The worst thing you can do is take your child, and I know this not based on anecdotal, my own personal experience. I know this based on the research that's been done. Take your child and constantly praise them, thinking that's going to make them confident, especially if you're praising them like for their intelligence or their talent or their skill. And the reason is there's a woman from Stanford University, professor of psychology there named Carol Dweck. And she did these 18-year studies and 11 years intensively, where she found the impact upon kids. When you teach kids, and most of us have done this, oh, you're so beautiful, oh, you're so smart, or, oh, you're so skilled. What happens is they love it in the moment. But then what happens is when they have a difficulty, when all of a sudden it's not so easy, it doesn't flow so well, they start saying, oh my God, maybe I'm not that smart. And it scares them. It scares them unconsciously. And then they don't think they have the ability. In fact, one of her studies showed that kids that were taught that they're so smart, when they were given a difficult test, 40% lied about their score when they were asked about what their score was. 40%. Because it's inconsistent with their identity. And the way to really praise, the way to build real confidence is to praise your kids for their efforts. Say, wow, that took unbelievable amount of creativity. That what you probably tried 20 different ways to get that done. That's incredible. Praising effort, praising variability, praising someone who's persistent. Those are the qualities that will make them be confident long-term because with those skill sets, they'll be able to succeed. So I'm not a believer in confidence for just confidence's sake. I believe confidence is the door opener. But you've got to make sure that behind that door opener, you've got the core skill sets. And the core skill sets are not just how to do it. Like I said, I may not know how to do it, but I'm confident I'm going to figure it out because I'm a persistent son of a bitch, because I'm determined, because I'm resourceful, because I'm creative, because I'm flexible. And those are all qualities that are ongoingly, you have things you can do to increase their quality. And you're all those things. I mean, you know, I'm not blowing smoke your way. You know who you are. When people look at you and they might say, oh, you were lucky. You're the furthest thing from lucky on the planet. I'm excited for people to see your movie coming out, the story of your life. But what you've done has been unbelievably resourceful, incredibly flexible, unbelievably determined. And shit, when you do things over and over again from that place, you succeed. And then success builds on success and you have more confidence. I remember when I went to work for Jim Rohn as a personal development speaker, I had no speaking background. I was going for work in sales. But the way you got people to a seminar in those days was to go speak to a real estate office, a stock brokerage, a company where you had people that the decisions they made affected their economics. And if you could affect their performance, you know, they could see value in going to his program. And I had no speaking ability. And the number one guy at that company, I don't even remember his name anymore, but I just remember I went up to him on the first day because he seemed like an arrogant asshole, an overconfident guy. And it bugged me even as a 17-year-old kid. And I went up to this guy and I'd done a little homework that day. And I said, hey, I understand you're number one in the company. He goes, yeah. And I said, I understand you do what, 3 talks a month? He goes, yeah. And he said, I close 90-something%. I don't remember the amount, but he was so proud of himself. And I said, you better remember my name. I said, because in 6 months, I'm going to dwarf you. And this guy looked at me like I was so full of crap, right? And I smiled and I said, and I'm not saying that out of overconfidence like you. I said, I'm just going to outwork you. I said, you are a lazy son of a bitch. And I went out and I set a goal to do 3 talks a day, which is what he was doing in a month. And I did it. I booked an entire month. So picture this. In 12 days, I got a year's worth of his experience. And that's if he kept increasing.
Yep.
See, when I was done with each talk, I still do it to this day. You know, every break on every event I've done for 38 years, I sit down with my team and I go, here's what worked. Here's what worked. Here's what we're going to improve. Here's what's going to be better. I mean, I'm obsessive. So some people say I got 10 years of experience and they got 1 year of experience 10 times. You know, 1 year they grew and they needed the same crap over and over again. So, you know, in 12 days, I got a year's worth of experience, probably more. In 2.5 months, you know, I got 15 years of experience in his world. And sure enough, in less than 6 months, I dwarfed him. I was number one. So confidence can also come from massive action. Like I said, confidence comes, you're tying your shoes, you're confident. No question about it because you've done it so much. You look at somebody like Kobe Bryant. Why is he so confident? He doesn't leave practice without making 300 shots. That's his minimum. If he doesn't make 300 shots, he keeps on working. He keeps on working. No wonder he's confident, right? You know, you look at, you know, Larry Bird. You know, I'm old member. Remember him in Boston when him and Magic Johnson would go at it. He would go out on the court by himself an hour before the game and bounce that ball on every spot of the court he's been on a million times so he would know the feeling of the floor. That's the level of certainty that he wanted so he could perform at a level that was better than anyone in the game. So you can't replace, I always tell people, when you see people that are incredibly successful, they're being rewarded in public for what they practice in private. You know, nobody worked harder than Jordan. Tiger reinvented golf. And before that, golf were guys that kind of showed up. He started lifting weights. He changed the game. So you can get more confidence if you'll work your ass off. You'll get more confidence also if you don't base it on history, but based on capability.
Yep. No, and it's funny you say that you're talking about the guy when you worked at Jim Rohn. There's a fine line sometimes where people observe or think from the outside, confidence and cockiness, right?
Yes.
That kind of arrogance. And the thing I respect the most is I love that, maybe it's not the right word, but the quiet confidence. So you mentioned Richard Branson. He became a friend. I spent a week with him on Necker. And he's an introvert.
He really is. You never guess that.
He's like, let's sail around the island. Him and I sailed, we spent about 3 hours together and it was great. He's a great dude, but so quiet. But even in his quietness, the confidence exudes from his pores.
Yeah. And look at, where does his confidence come from? In the beginning, he just said, let's give it a go. That's his favorite phrase, you know, let's give it a go, right? Why not? Let's see. The real confidence in him is his lack of fear of failure. And by the way, he's got 400 something companies. He's had about 100 companies fail. Nobody talks about that.
And that's what I was going to say. Somebody listening right now say, well, of course, Tony's confident. Dean's confident. Richard Branson's confident. They have money and everything came. So I think they're putting the horse before the cart. The confidence came before the success, or else the success wouldn't have been there.
That's right. But with the confidence, you work your ass off. With the confidence, you know, you look at Richard, he makes it look easy. He works his ass off. The level of immersion this guy's got. Now, at this stage, his greatest capacity is finding the right people, right? He's able to put the right people to work and put the leverage together. But he's just willing to give it a go. He's not worried about failure. That's where his confidence comes from. He's kind of suspended that process. And yet, you know, Richard's number one question in business, most people think of it as this giant risk taker, and he is with his life, you know, going in a balloon, you know, going up in a spaceship. I'm going to go do that thing. The last one blew up. I'm hoping it's a little better in the future. But his number one question in business, in a business deal, is what's the downside and how to protect it? Like when he was doing Virgin Airlines, I mean, think of the level of risk. The big risk is these buying these giant Boeing aircraft, right? Business jets, these aircraft to take across. And what he did was he negotiated a deal that if he failed in the first 2 years, he could give the jets back to Boeing at no cost to him and no liability. So when you think of somebody who's confident, part of them make their confidence, they're being smart, you know?
Yeah.
But I do want to reinforce what you said. Confidence is first. Without the confidence, you won't get the competence, right? If you wait till you're competent to have confidence, you're going to have a very limited life. You do need both, but you got to start with the confidence. And there's no way in hell you're going to have a lasting success on a large scale without confidence, because without confidence, you're not going to take massive action. And massive action, learning from what doesn't work, changing your approach until you get to where you want, is really what makes someone succeed long-term in any context.
So you know this story, Tony, but you and I first met when it was a one-way conversation, listening to get the Edge, right?
Yeah.
And 12 years ago, I went through something that robbed my confidence. Something changed in business, account changed, and I had an accountant. You know, it sounds like one of those typical stories. My accountant cleaned out my safety net. So I didn't know the safety net was gone until I needed the safety net. It had been gone for almost a year. So everything hit at once. And the truth is, I was going through a divorce, and there was a lot of things changing all at once in my life. And incantations, and you listen to that. And the truth is, my incantation, when there was so much shit, and then at the same time, my grandmother, and this isn't about me, I'm just sharing how powerful the incantations are. My grandmother, who was my rock, who I moved into when I moved in when I was three, she was dying all at the same time.
Wow.
So juggling all these emotions, and that fear set in even with me, and I started questioning, wow, because I had already built a big business and I owned a lot of assets. But the assets all cost money and the cash flow went away.
Yeah.
And the safety net was gone. So everybody's like, well, he's got millions of property. Yeah, but those millions and millions of $30 million in property cost money.
Yeah.
So I remember losing my confidence, and I felt like hiding. I felt like just giving up. And I said, maybe I wasn't smart enough to get here. Maybe. And I started finding all these limiting stories that came out of like seventh grade. Yeah. So I see how people grab them, and incantations. And I want to tell you, I had a longer one. But the one that got me through, and it's funny you say that, is I used to walk to the gym every day, and mine was, if I can get through this motherfucker, I can get through anything. And if I can get through this motherfucker, I can get through anything. And I remember walking to the gym. I was walking to LA Fitness every morning, then I started running to LA Fitness, and I remember screaming that. And when I first met you, I thanked you. You changed my life before you knew me, brother.
Yeah.
But that power, and the thing is, what I try to share with people is, nothing changed in my life, Tony. That I still got robbed from my accountant. I lost my biggest account. I was losing 100 grand a month when I didn't have 100 grand a month. My grandmother still died. I still had to go through a divorce. Nothing changed but my confidence and my thoughts. That's it. Not one exterior thing changed. And to give someone that gift, like even this conversation, if one person can get that gift to go, nothing, you don't have to be the thermometer. You could be the thermostat.
Yeah.
And it's just that one little trigger that does it.
What's beautiful is, you know, all of us know the power of inspiration. I mean, it's like perspiration has a lot of value. But first, you got to be inspired before you're going to go do the stuff that will make you perspire and succeed. And I think, you know, sometimes even trying to do an incantation seems like a lot, but you just said the secret. I mean, I'll give you an example. When I was 17, my mom and my fourth father had it out. My mom was a pretty powerful woman. She kicked him out. He went back east and just gave up. And then my mom thought I was on his side, so I went out next. She chased me out with a knife at Christmas. And, you know, she wouldn't have killed me, I know, or probably hurt me too bad, but I wasn't going to take any chances, and I was on my own. And I had to figure out what the hell to do. I'm in high school. I was working as a janitor, making $40 a week, $50 a week. She kept my money. She kept my car that I had at that point. I had a 1960 Volkswagen first that I had shag carpeting I got from a remnant store that I put on the ceiling because the stuffing had come out and the floors. I mean, had no reverse, but it was all I owned. So what the hell am I going to do? And I was just completely, totally depressed and overwhelmed. So I slept on the mountain the first night. Next night, I'm down in this friend of mine's house living in their laundry room. And I thought, I got to do something. So the first thing I did, the very first thing I did, is I went and I got on this bus, a little bit of change I had, and I got to this bookstore and I picked up a book called The Magic of Believing by Claude M. Bristol. And I bought it with the little money I had and went back and devoured this little book. And because somewhere along the line, you know, when I was 17, I'd heard this guy, Jim Rohn, say, leaders are readers. And I was like, I got to read something. I got to feed my mind, because in the state I was in, I was feeling like there was just no reason for being. And in the book, it talked about do affirmations, and the affirmations didn't work, but it also said, write your affirmations on the mirror. So you stare through the mirror and see them. And I was writing things like, only a depressed, you know, only a loser is depressed, and I'm not a loser, this crazy shit. You know, so I decided, you know, I'm gonna feed my mind. I have to feed my mind, because otherwise it feels like, you know, what's there to stick around for here in life? And so I'm reading this book, The Magic of Believing, and in it talks about affirmations. I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna do these affirmations, but they didn't seem to be working. And then he said, well, write it on a mirror and stare at it. I wrote things like, only a loser is depressed, right? Because I was so depressed, and somewhere in my soul was, I'm not a loser, right? I just gotta make this thing happen. But what you have to connect to reading is physiology, which is the movement of your body. And I've stumbled across that by accident. I was working as a janitor, and I was working these two banks in the middle of the night, and I had no car, so I had to take these buses there. So I would take the buses to this place called San Marino. It would take me like an hour and a half to get there. I'd work from basically 11 o'clock till 2 in the morning, clean both banks, get back on the bus, come back, be there at 3:30, try to get some sleep, get up a few hours later, go to high school. And one night it came out, and I was doing this regimen, burning myself out. And one night I came out of the bank, and I sat up there at 2 o'clock in the morning waiting for this damn bus, and it just didn't come. And finally, I don't know how long it was, 30, 45 minutes, somebody drove by and opened the window and said, haven't you seen the paper? And I said, no, and it was a bus strike. So I'm in a place called San Marino, California. I got to get to Azusa, California, which is, you know, the most direct line, I think, is like 14 miles, 15 miles. I'd never run 3 miles in my life. And something inside of me snapped. And I was just so angry. And I channeled the anger. And I just started running. I said, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. It was kind of like, if I can get through this fucking thing, right? And it was about my mom, quite frankly, at that time. So the first 30 minutes was rage. I'm going to show you. And then I started doing every day in every way. I'm getting stronger and stronger. And I ran 12 and a half miles that night, the longest I ever run in my entire life. And I was so, when I look at the absolute certainty that I call on to this day in my nervous system, when the tough things are there, I think its origin was that night. Because I went from just rage to strength, to empowerment, to joy. Yep. And I literally, I mean, it, you know, somebody once said, you tell a lie big enough, loud enough, long enough, sooner or later, people believe you. It was Hitler who said that. And most of us are Hitler to ourselves. We convince ourselves what we can't do. Well, that night, I convinced myself what I could do, but I did it while I was also using my body and pushing. And when you push physically, you go lift weights, you go for a run, you go for a sprint, you make yourself do something highly physical while you've also planted the right mental seeds in you. And as you feel that blood pulsing through your body, there is a total transformation in your psychology. There's a change in your neurotransmitters biochemically. There's a change in the way you think. There's a change in your identity. Because here's what I tell people. A belief is a poor excuse for an experience. If you want to believe shit, that's really wonderful. It's a good place to start. But the most powerful thing is to put yourself in experience. If you think you know what China is, go to China and then you'll know what China is, instead of making up a story in your head. You think you don't know what you can do, put your ass on the line. Make yourself in a place where you want to take the island, so you burn the boats. And I can promise you, you're going to discover who you are. You're going to have an experience that will expand your confidence, because there's no way back. But most people, they're waiting for an experience to interrupt them. And a great experience, a great victory, confidence comes from doing things that are incredibly difficult. And not always succeeding, but at least pushing yourself through. And the ones that you succeed on build even more confidence. And I think people need to do that. So what I did back then is I said, okay, I'm going to read every single day, 30 minutes a day, no matter what. Something that's going to inspire me, something's going to be a skill or ability. Every single day, I'm going to work out. I don't care what it is. I'm going to miss a meal, but I'm not going to miss a workout. And I'm not going to miss reading. Those two things are going to make happen. And then a third thing, I got some role models that made me believe it was possible, because I saw what they did and it gave me a pathway. And then fourthly, I started taking just massive action because I was in this different state. And then fifthly, along the way, I didn't wait till I was doing well. I made sure every day I was doing something where I felt I was a blessing in somebody's life. Because your value of yourself changes when you stop focusing on yourself and you focus on giving something. So I'd focus on giving something, time, energy, love, something to someone in need. And it reminded me that I had something to give instead of I just had to get something. And I did the exact same process probably 20 years later when I was in a business deal with a gentleman who was the child of a multi-billionaire, thought he was a multi-billionaire, went into this deal. The deal, he lied about the deal. We were joint and several on some of the borrowing that was done for some of the companies we purchased. And we went through the tough economic times, and I found out the guy was broke. And all of a sudden, I have $150 million worth of debt that I have to do because it's joint and several. Right? Yeah. And I didn't know what joint and several was. I was an idiot at that stage. And plus, he was a multi-billionaire. So I'm going to put in my $30 million, and he's going to put in his. But it didn't work that way. So I literally thought, I felt like throwing up. I had to get up and do my Date with Destiny seminar and, you know, deliver for everybody. Wow. So I got out of my own head, and I delivered for these people. And then after that program, I just went on this total obsession of reading, working out, finding the role model of how to work through this process here, massive action, and doing good works. And the same thing that got me out of it when I was depressed and feeling dead inside and helpless at 17 helped me at whatever it was, I guess probably 35, 37, when it looked my entire universe was going to disappear. And then once you do that, every time you break through, you get stronger. It's like, you know, it is like, I remember when I needed $50,000 to keep the doors open at one point, that seemed like 10 million. And now I come up with 150 million. And next thing I know, you know, now my companies are doing 5 billion a year in revenues. I mean, it's like, that was beyond my imagination. So it's like, problems don't go away. What happens is you get a better quality problem, right? You know, Apple's problem was they came up with, they were bankrupt in 1997. And then it came up with this idea of iTunes and, you know, the iPod. And then their new problem was they have 80% of the market. Well, that's a better quality problem, but it's still a problem. And you get better at dealing with it. So confidence will help you create anything you want, but there's nothing like putting your ass on the line and pushing yourself through to build that confidence. You're not always going to succeed, but even the fact that you put yourself on the line and pushed yourself, and if you persist, it's going to build more confidence as well.
You know, what you just shared, Tony, is it's so what you shared transformed my life. And obviously you've touched a lot. You've changed millions of lives with that. You know, everybody listening right now, when you're in that funk and you think life is affecting you, just that process, it's just so magical, dude. It pulled me out of it when I thought I was bulletproof. But you hit the nail on the head. The more problems that we solve and come out on the other side, the tougher the challenge, the stronger we get, the deeper the confidence. You know, just this story that just popped in my head when you were sharing. I did a family reunion in Cabo a couple of years ago, and my kids were 4 and 6. So we went zip lining. Yes. So we get there and it's 10 or over, but in Mexico, a couple $100, my kids were automatically 10, right? So they get this harness and they double it up on my little 4-year-old son. So he's nervous. And I said, "Bud, if you don't want to do it," he's like, "No, Dad, I want to." And even my sister was there. She was mad at me because it was this big, you know, 400-foot down and you go a half a mile and all the stuff. But it made me look at it just from a child's perspective. My son was shaking. He's like, "Dad, maybe when I'm older, I won't shake." I'm like, "I wonder if this is going to cost therapy when he's 15, right? Cost therapy." But I watched him be so afraid. And when he got to the other side and accomplished that, he wanted to do all of it. He wanted to go the whole thing at 4 years old. And it just shows that's who we are in nature. It's if he gave up on that, I mean, he's 4, he had an excuse, but just that little example. And the funny thing is we went to Cabo. We did anything you could possibly imagine. We're blessed. We got to do great things and ride dolphins and tuna fish and all this great stuff on the ocean. When we got home for weeks, all he talked about was the overcoming that fear and doing ziplining.
Well, there's a permanent change in your psychology when you face your fear and you conquer it in an area. And when you stack a series of those, it's priceless. I mean, that's why I do the firewalk still after all these years, because, you know, everybody's got their fear. We do the, you know, we do the zip lining, we do the, you know, the ropes courses, we do, you know, skydiving, all those things that we do with people. They're all tools for just reminding you of what you are. And unless you're doing what I call deep practice, unless you're putting yourself at your edge where you're a little fearful, or maybe even a lot fearful, but doing it anyway, you're not going to grow. And in the end, you know, I always tell people, what's it all about? You want to be happy in your life? Well, happiness comes from one word, progress. And yep. Progress equals happiness. But the only way you make progress is if you face your fears, if you push beyond what you're comfortable with. If all you do is what you're already good at, you're already comfortable with, then your life becomes unbelievably boring. I know a lot of people that reach out to me who are billionaires, who are the most successful in the world at what they do. And then what happened was in the beginning to get there, they took huge risks and they put their ass on the line. It made them feel alive. And then now they've got something to protect. They got a reputation, a brand, a certain amount of money, a something. And so they don't take those risks anymore and they feel dead inside. Life is not about what you get. Life's about who you become. And you know what you get will never make you happy, but who you become will make you really happy or really sad. And the way to become more doesn't mean every moment you have to be facing a fear, but you got to somewhat consistently be going after whatever you think your edge is. And that's what's going to make you feel alive. You don't have to achieve the goal. Just making progress alone will make somebody feel more alive. And so I think confidence comes from progress also. You don't have to, sometimes you can do it with little things. Sometimes you do it with big things. It's a combination that makes life worthwhile.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I've told people is, you know, so many people who lack confidence don't realize they've already accomplished so many great things. Sometimes it's just looking backwards and see the things you've already overcome. Right. You know, we look ahead so much and we forget what makes us cool. Right. Or what makes us who we are. It could be, you know, overcoming the fear of being a parent. You became an amazing parent, or that first date or whatever. You know, we've done these little things. And when sometimes you look back and it can give them the confidence to, you know, at least venture out to see that you're more than you think. Right. You get in your head. I'm just reading a book. I just finished it, Tony. I don't know if you read Napoleon Hill's Outwitting the Devil. They just released it a couple years ago.
No, I didn't see that one.
It was written in 1932 and they just released it 2 years ago.
Wow.
And incredible. And the one part, he interviews the devil. The devil is just really self-doubt and you know, the stories in our head. But it's a great concept. And he didn't release it because his wife wouldn't let him, because he dogs churches and teachers for not teaching kids how to think, teaching them how to memorize and telling them how to think rather than, you know, teaching them, you know, how to follow rules rather than think for themselves.
Yeah.
And he says, when you do that, you give that child to me when I can let the world manipulate them. So the only reason I'm sharing this is a really great book and you'd love it. But he talks about hypnotic rhythm. We get in this hypnotic rhythm of negativity. And he goes, once you do that, there is no hell with fire. That's how the devil was trying to listen to the audios. There's no hell with fire. Those of you that get in a hypnotic rhythm of what's wrong and let the outside world affect you, I own you your whole life. And that's 98% of the world. So I'm beating the other side. That's how the conversation goes.
That's awesome. Well, one of the things that I've done, you know, throughout my life as a ritual to kind of balance that out so I don't get in that rhythm, or if I start to get in that rhythm, is I make these lists. I ask the question, you know, your questions dominate your life. And, you know, you've been a date with Destiny, you know that everyone has an individual primary question, a question they ask more often than anything else. And it's unconscious and it shapes your life. And I have people uncover what it is and change it. But one of the questions I deliberately, physically write regularly is, what's magnificent? And I make myself sit down, because so much, even when life is beautiful, so much happens so rapidly in our lives. We work around the clock, do all the crazy things we do, that if you don't keep score, you can't be as fulfilled. And so I do write all the little and the big things that are magnificent. I write down magic moments. I write down accomplishments. And I stack them, because, you know, it's easy to stack failure. It's easy to stack disappointment. It's easy to stack just getting used to the same things over and over again. In fact, one thing I'll do often for people in seminars sometimes when we're doing goal setting, before I even do the goal setting, I want them to have certainty, your confidence, right? That it's going to be real, because otherwise it's all just bullshit. So I do things with their body to get them there. They're on fire. Yeah. They're feeling strong. But then I also usually will have them sit down and say, make a list. And I'd recommend this to anyone listening. Take 10 minutes and make a list of all the things that are in your life today that once seemed difficult or impossible at some stage. And it could be everything, something as simplistic as the car you wanted to get, now you take for granted, or the spouse that you were hoping would make love to you and now you barely kiss, right? You know, and I said, I want you to make a list of what it is, and I want you to think about these things, the little things and big things that once seemed incredibly difficult or impossible, and they're part of your life today. And then I have circled three of them that were the most difficult or seemed the most impossible at one point. And I said, now write down, how did it happen? How did you go from impossible to possible? And what's really cool is, number one, everybody gets, there's a long list of things, if they're honest, little things, and sometimes big things too, that seem so difficult, but they're here today. And that instantly changes confidence. So one of the things that will take them from being confident to absolute certainty is when they start seeing there's a common denominator in what they did and things that were once impossible, and they're now in your life. And you know it, I know it, everybody knows it, but maybe we don't label it. And I think of it as the simplest process. I think of it as three steps. How did you take something that once seemed impossible, make it real? The first thing is you got obsessive, right? Yep. You started focusing on it. You started thinking about it all the time. Your hunger was unleashed. Your desire was unleashed. And when that desire is unleashed and you think about it constantly, whether it's, you know, a car you wanted, a relationship you wanted to create, a transformation you want to create in your body and your friends or whatever, there's something amazing happens in the human brain. There's this part of the brain called the reticular activating system, the RAS. And it's the part that determines what you notice. So when you buy a car or an outfit, and then suddenly you see that car or outfit everywhere, it was always around you, those cars and outfits. Yep. But now you see it because your brain says, this is important. When you become obsessed about something, anything, a conversation that's behind you, you wouldn't have heard, something you wouldn't have noticed, something you see to read, your eye goes to it. It's your brain is the servo mechanism, like a bomb. It knows the outcome and it's going to find anything that'll get you there. So that's the first step, and we've all done it. And some people didn't even have a plan. They just obsessed so much, shit came together, and it came, and their life, it worked. But if you want to speed it up and ensure its success, you got to go to step two, which is simple, massive action and effective execution. You got to take massive action, try not a little, try everything. If it doesn't work, what do? Do you try something else? That doesn't work, you try something else. I always say to people, how long do you give your average kid to learn how to walk? They look at me like I'm crazy. You go, when do you look at your kid and go, you know what? You've tried too many times. You're just not a walker. Give up. You know, people go, are you crazy? My kid's going to keep trying until they walk. So that's the formula. But if you keep changing your approach, you'll eventually figure out how to execute effectively. Because running east looking for a sunset, I don't care how positive you are, it's not going to work. You need to execute effectively. You need the right strategy. And then if you have this obsession of energy, this drive, this hunger, and you're taking massive action, changing your approach, effectively executing, I really believe you do need one more thing, and that's grace. Some call it good luck. Some call it God. You can call it whatever you want, but God or grace is what I see it as. And one thing I know about grace is that the more you acknowledge it in your life, the more you tend to experience. You know, we all are doing our part, but there are certain things that you had nothing to do with. When you were born, where you were born, the place you were born, the time in history. There's certain things where life is happening for you, not to you. And the more you can identify where life is happening for you, the more life seems to happen for you. So I think those three things, it might be a nice exercise for those listening to say, come up with a list of what, you know, what seems impossible that's possible today. You're living it today.
You know, obsession, massive action, and grace, you know, that there's a couple of things that your life happens for us rather than, you know, happens to us. Or happens for us rather than to us. Is that I told you that was the biggest impact out of everything. Sometimes you crystallize a whole bunch into one sentence, and that was it. And that's here. I mean, if you look back at anything we've accomplished, we were obsessed over it. We took massive action, and you had to have some grace. Now, dude, what's cool about having these conversations is because I sit here and listen, and I become a student. I feel in 12th grade again because. It's all these pieces that allowed me to get through those insecure times without confidence, wondering if you could make it, wondering if you should get up, scared to death if you could take another step. But it's those types of pieces that got you through, and you just build a muscle. And when the muscle's strong, then nothing gets in your way. Now, Tony, I know how crazy busy you are. I'm just going to ask you a couple more things and we'll wrap this up. If we're, in today's world, everything's quick. It's fast. Someone's walking in. They want to have a conversation with their wife. They want to talk to their kids. They want to ask their boss for a raise. They want to go start their own business. Something quick happens and their confidence goes in the toilet. Is there any, you know, in today's world, they call it a hack. Is there anything exercise you would do that you could do in a minute or 2 minutes to try to build the confidence to get through a tough situation?
Well, the fastest way to change your state, which all confidence is the state. So states come and go unless you train them to stay, unless you build the muscle. And even if you build the muscle and something just slams you and you lose confidence for whatever reason, the fastest way to change is a radical change in the way you use your body. And I usually, you know, demonstrate that quite visually and physically. Yeah. But an explosive breath, explosive movement, screaming the word yes as loud as you can 5 or 6 times in a row will snap your nervous system in a place that's intense. Throwing on some music that'll put you in that place. But yep. I'll tell you, what I'm telling you sounds like, you know, third grade or sounds like just a pump up. but it actually changes your biochemistry. And I've worked with some of the greatest athletes in the world, presidents of the United States, people that in a moment, they had all the ability, but the ability was gone because the state wasn't there. And I showed them how to just find what they did physically at their best, to move that way, to speak with that authority, to make that gesture, to use that voice, to look in someone's eye with that intensity, where there is nothing but certainty inside you. And you can see instantly they get back their momentum. But yep. About a year ago, I've been teaching this for, and demonstrating it more importantly, teaching it for, 38 years. And about 2 years ago, Harvard did a study called Power Poses. And what they did was just have people stand, you can do this, put both your hands on your hips, so you're standing like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, whatever your metaphor is. And if you stand that way for 10 minutes, and that's all you do, you don't talk to anybody, you don't do any incantations, you don't read, you don't do anything, you'll see that your testosterone will increase approximately 15% in 2 minutes biochemically. You'll see that the stress hormones in your body drop 20%, and they've shown that you're 33% more likely to take a risky action, whether it's starting a business, walking up to a man or woman, dealing with a challenge, calling on a client, than you would have if you'd not done it. It literally is a biochemical 2 minute hack. Yep. But I would say standing with your hands on hips is nice, but if you add your voice to it, if you add movement to it, you're
an
just
incantation.
And incantations to it, then the game's over. You know it from your experience, but I know it from mine. You can do that for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, and you're ready to rock and roll. And you can train yourself, as I do with people in a seminar, where you can just put yourself in these peak states when you're not having the problem, and you can train yourself to make your fist. And the next time you're just walking in a meeting, you just make your fist, and bam, that biochemistry fires off. It's a pure trigger to your nervous system. And that's called anchoring. But really, the two-minute hack is make a radical change in your body. Use your voice, do an incantation, do something of that nature for 2 minutes straight of intensity. Another one you can do that's simple, but also has been proven to work, is put your hands on your heart, close your eyes. If you want something less intense, or you're afraid someone's going to notice you. I mean, I remember I always, before I get up on stage, I have this, you know, ritual I do of this explosive set of movements. You know, and at the end of it, you know, I do my incantation, and then I say, use me, Lord, you know, and I do my little prayer. And I remember one time I was supposed to go on stage. I was late at this big convention. It was like 10,000 realtors. And I'm running in late, and I'm looking for a place where there's no backstage, looking for a place where I go make my move, like Superman looking for a phone booth. And there aren't any phone booths around here, right? So another approach you can do that's less visual or intense or quiet is you can put both your hands on your heart. Physically feel your heart and breathe for 2 minutes in your heart, where you're literally focused on the blood coming in your heart. And while you're focused on those 2 minutes, you think of three things that you're grateful for. And you don't think of them artificially, like, you know, you can remember going down a roller coaster over there, or you can remember going over the edge in the front seat. You got to think of something you're grateful from the front seat. If you just take 2 minutes, think of three things you're grateful for. If you looked at your EEGs and your EKG, your heart, the electricity in your heart, electricity in your brain, when you're stressed, they're very jagged and they're not aligned. In 2 minutes, I can show you, your brain and your heart literally become perfectly in sync. And instead of jagged, they're round. Your mind, your brain, and your heart are working together. And whatever decision you make from that state will be a completely different quality. And you will feel a complete different level of confidence than you will if you just try to make it from your stressed place. So you can do it with the extreme intensity, or you can do it with more internal approach. Because, you know, there are people that are more extroverted, there are people that are more introverted. Introverted people making a radical change in their body is mind-bogglingly powerful because they never do it. But if you want to and you say, I want to do it in a more subtle way, this can do it as well. If the subtle way isn't enough, though, kick into gear with some intensity as well.
Tony, dude, I appreciate everything you shared tonight, and everybody listening, just what a wealth of knowledge. You could rewind, listen, pause. But each of these moments, I mean, the fortunate part is I've been blessed to listen to you years ago and then get to watch you live and become friends. And it's great because this is who you are behind the curtain. You know, it's one thing when people say, oh, you know, Tony. And I said, you know, the greatest thing is sometimes when you meet your heroes, it's a real disappointment. And I say that, because you're this man and serve and care in every instance of your life. And I know you don't need to hear that from me, bud, but I appreciate you as a person, and I'm blessed to have you in my life, and I'm blessed to have you share this with so many people. Keep up the amazing work. I'll just end with this. What are you most excited about right now? You got so much going on.
Oh my gosh. I'm right now heading up to China. I got 10,000 people there. So that's what's in front of me right now. I want to plant one seed. Thank you for what you said. I don't take what you said lightly. I look at you as a brother, and I love you dearly. I do want to say one more thing for people. Be kind to yourself, and remember that confidence is also contextual. You know, you might be really – I got football players that you can put them in front of somebody coming at them full tilt in a full sprint with 250 pounds, and they look them in the face and deck them. And you put them in, you put them to get up and give a speech, and they look like they're 4 years old. So,
right.
And if you over-contextualize, if you're confident in everything, you're going to be overconfident. So if you find yourself not feeling confident, it's not the end of the world. It's like, okay, you know, maybe that's a sign I need to work on some skill sets. And in the meantime, here's what I'm going to do to make myself feel strong and confident to get through this right now. So I hope people will be kind to themselves. Nobody is confident in every situation all the time, but you learn to develop the skills like a muscle, and you're able to start using it in other areas as well. But I'm juiced about my life. I'm juiced about my woman. I'm juiced about our businesses. I had the privilege of, I got to fly here on my own plane here. So I got a lot of fun things in my life, but the most valuable thing and thing that excites me most is to see people's lives change. And I hope this little conversation will trigger some people who maybe thought that this was some magical formula that they didn't have. And they realize it's just some simple steps they can do to build some muscle. And once that muscle's there, it'll guide you for the rest of your life.
Tony, you're awesome, dude. I appreciate you, and I know how busy you are. Go knock them dead in China.
Okay, brother, will do. Take care.
Hey, it's Dean, and I just wanted to say once again, thanks for having faith in me. If you're going through the Winning State of Mind or my Abundance course right now, or you read my Totally Fulfilled book, I hope you see that I just want to create these recipes to get you from where you are to where you want to go. And right now, I want to see if you want to join the DG Challenge. What is that? You see, I know so many times in life, we get excited, we get a course, we go to a live event, and we get the wisdom, we get the capabilities, and we get excited, but then life kind of reels us back in. It gobbles us up, and we go right back to where we were. And I don't want that to happen to you. So if you'd like the opportunity to work with one of my personally trained success coaches, I want to give you this challenge. I'm not sure if you've been watching me on TV for over 15 years now. I can't believe it, even saying that out loud. Or maybe you just learned about me. I want to let you know I've produced some of the greatest TV shows that have ever been seen. Plus, I'm all over the internet. And if you've watched my success stories, it's people whose lives were just, you know, maybe they were smiling on the outside and sad on the inside, or their backs were against the wall and they needed a change, or they were making a lot of money but sad, or no money and happy, and they wanted a fulfilled life, a next level life. And I got to provide that for them. And I want to do that for you. If you're someone ready to take your life to the next level, if you would love to be on one of my next TV shows showing a transformation of where you are and us helping you, giving you these little shifts and keeping you accountable for the actions and the habits and the beliefs you have, then maybe you would be perfect to work with one of my highly trained success coaches. And the only way you could do that is to take the DG Challenge. If you're ready for that next level of life and you don't want to go back to where you were, you want to stay on fire or go to that next level, then do this. Right now, you can click the link below and schedule an appointment to talk to one of my consultants. Or if you're ready to talk to someone right now, call the 800 number below, and what we'll do is make sure we get you on the phone right away with a consultant who can see where you are, where you want to go, why you want it, and how we can help guide you to get there. And I'd love for you to accept the DG Challenge and be on one of my next TV shows, or be online with me to show the world how with just tiny little shifts, you can make a massive impact on your life and take it to that next level. I'm Dean Graziosi. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to assist you. I'd love for you to be one of these. And we're only working with about 250 people this year. So if you'd like the chance to be one of them, then click the link below, schedule an appointment, or call right now and get you on the phone with one of my consultants. I'm Dean Graziosi. I'll talk to you soon.